Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets. It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. You know, Mother Nature, she certainly isn't going to win any congeniality awards. I mean, she has unleashed wildfires, tornadoes, flash floods, and other disasters. I mean, how can we protect ourselves and our pets? Fortunately, our special guest today is ready to share some pet safety strategies. We're going with the top dog. We are honored to have on our show the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. Please welcome Dr. Rena Carlson. Welcome, Dr. Rena.
Oh, thank you. You're too kind. I'm a veterinarian who wants to help people.
So. Hey, what are we going to do? We're going to find out the answers, but we got to take this quick break. And you all know the drill. We got to sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. O-Behave will be right back.
What's up, pet pals? Arden Moore here, your host of the O-Behave Show. Me? Wow. Did you know there's up to 100 million free roaming cats in the United States? And without spay or neuter, that number is only going to keep growing. Not only does spay neuter humanely reduce the community cat population, it keeps cats healthy. Scooter, the neuter cat, is on a mission to give cats an extra life by making it hip to be snipped. Hey, check them out. Go to givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org and help us make this a better world for cats.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. O-Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now, back to your fetching host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. We have the president on the show. The president, the best kind, of the American Veterinary Medical Association. I'm talking Dr. Rena Carlson. And you're on a mission this month because of Mother Nature, right?
We are. And, you know, our top priority for the AVMA is to do everything we can and get all kinds of information out so that everybody can keep their pets safe during some of these times that can be stressful and worrisome. So being prepared is the number one thing. So this is awesome. And I appreciate some time to be able to talk about what we can do.
Well, I need to share that on May 28th here in Dallas, we got a tornado and we live in a subdivision called Little Forest Hills, trees. And three of my neighbors, 80-year-old plus trees, uprooted and went boom into our backyard, landed on this backyard office, ruined our heavy metal patio. We have a thing for our grills, a big gazebo, gone, power out for 5 days. But we had our six pets in our walk-in closet. It was kind of scary, but we had things in preparation. And you said the key word, be prepared. Because I don't know, what about you? I don't think there's any place safe on the planet where the climate is going to always be perfect anymore these days.
You know, and it's not just climate. I come from an area where we have earthquakes. So again, weather is huge. Because, of course, with storms and flooding and tornadoes, winter time with bitter
Yes.
cold, there can be all kinds of extremes, but we do have, again, earthquakes,
Yeah, I
fire.
used to live in California. I got the push and the shove and the wobble.
So it doesn't matter what the potential emergency is. It could be even something like in my area, I've lost power for, many hours due to a car crashing into a big, a big power station. So, there's just many reasons why we need to be prepared.
So speaking of being prepared for yourself, what kind of pets do you have and what do you do when you think something's bad's going to happen? How do you prepare for your own home and your pets?
So obviously, you kind of need to sit down when things are calm and make a checklist. And there's all
Okay.
kinds of online assistance. So avma.org is a great one. We have a whole section on disaster preparedness to make sure you think of all of the things. Because off the top of my head, honestly, I'm probably not going to think of every little detail right now. So go to those checklists and think about what do we need every day, not what we want. What do we
Right.
absolutely need?
Who are your pets? What are the names?
So I have Rocket and Missy, my two cats. I told you tabbies are absolutely just melt my heart. So I have a tabby named Rocket and a calico
Love
named
them.
Missy. We travel a lot, so I don't have a dog right now. So I'm kind of missing the companionship of a dog. But we also have chickens. So even if you have livestock,
Good
you
point.
have to think about what does that look like and could I move them? What possible disaster? But really, again, back to what do we absolutely need every day? We need water. We need some food. We need some shelter and protection, whether that's from heat or cold. So put those checklists together and have a spot, down in a pretty convenient place. So you're not digging in the storage room way downstairs.
Or it's in the drawer underneath all the takeout menus.
Exactly. Keep it kind of in an easy closet as you're trying to run out the door so that, again, emergencies happen fast. Sometimes you can be prepared. Sometimes you can say, oh, that storm is coming. I'm going to make sure I'm all set. But an earthquake, you don't have that time. So you want it to be really quick. And then think of your pets. What kind of medications do they need? If I have a dog, make sure you have a spare leash in there. If, for kitties, they've got those easy disposable portable litter pan type things. Have some
And a
water
carrier, right?
carrier, exactly. So again, I'm not going to be able to, off the top of my head, list off all the
And you said it before too. AVMA.org has a disaster preparation section, and they even have a checklist for an evacuation kit, everyone. So that's, are you giving us homework, the good doctor?
Yes, I am. And do it again at a time when things are super calm. You have a very clear head because once that emergency happens, you are no longer able to stop and really think about some of those details.
And I know you're not a meteorologist. You don't play one on TV.
I don't play one on TV.
But it is predicted from the people that do know that we may have about 17 to 25 named storms and maybe up to a dozen plus hurricanes predicted for this hurricane season, which started June 1st.
And really, when it comes to hurricane season, listen to the officials. If they say evacuate, get out and you've got your kit prepared. And think ahead again when it comes to livestock. How can I get my animals out of this situation? And we don't have very many chickens, but we have a little coop and we can load them up in the pickup and get out if we needed to. I mean, if it was a,
Yeah. Do they have names too?
No, I do not have names. I had a couple that were quite friendly and I could, hold them. As things got a little busier for me, we've raised new chicks. I've not been as good making friends.
What the clock, doctor? I mean, come
I
on.
know, I
They give
know.
you eggs.
They do give us eggs and they give us lots of entertainment, eat the bugs off the yard. So.
Nice. So we're speaking with Dr. Rena Carlson. She is the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. One thing I really like is that you say they have to have IDs, and collars can go away, but give us an idea of what you mean so that if something happens, you get separated from your pet. during a storm or something.
Yes, and I'm glad you are emphasizing that, because a microchip is truly the best means of identification. And make sure that your information is always updated on the national website. Too many times I've had people say, well, I forgot to put my new phone number, or
really
did register it.
And I think they should do puppy push-ups for that.
Exactly. So don't forget to get all of your phone number, have a backup phone number, have a friend, have your siblings or somebody that you can trust will, you know, have that backup for you, so that if you are not available, if your phone is not working, there is somebody somewhere that can say, yes, that belongs to so-and-so. What can I do to help make sure that pet is safe until we can return it? So make sure you have that updated information on the national registries.
I like that. Hey, everybody, we're speaking with Dr. Rena Carlson. She's the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. We're going to dive into other things like, whew, summer heat, and who the heck is Dr. Carlson, after we take this break. So everybody just sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a walk on the red carpet, of course. All Behave will be back in a flash right after these messages.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets
on Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, this is Steve Wozniak, and I would love to invite you to listen to the O Behave Show by Arden Moore on Pet Life Radio.
We're back from the lot. Just checked the paper, and we had a record showing at the box. The letterbox, that is. Now back to O Behave. Here's Arden.
Welcome back to the O Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore, and I'm pretty honored because we've got the number one person at the top, and that is the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. She is Dr. Rena Carlson, and the AVMA, do a little bragging, I think you guys got over 105,000 members worldwide.
We do, and, wow. And we've got, there's members from every state, a lot of members from every state and territory. We've got 60 different countries
really
represented, and we really are the premier association that is the voice of the veterinary profession. And again, our top priority is outreach, so that we can not only support veterinarians but help animal owners and support animal health and welfare.
I was kind of surprised you were founded when Abe Lincoln was president.
Like 160 years ago. Yeah.
Somebody had a foresight mindset back then, right?
Exactly. You kind of wonder, you know, what was the thought process, because they absolutely set a foundation for, you know, amazing growth, amazing support of this profession.
So when you were a little girl, did you sit on the swing set saying, I'm going to be a veterinarian? How did you get into this?
Well, interestingly enough, my story is honestly different than a lot of veterinarians, because our profession really is full of so many people who had that passion very early in their life. And I admire that, because we're driven by our passion, right? That is our primary driver when it comes to what we do every day. And I'm very proud of that as a profession. I have to admit, I grew up in a rural area in Southern Idaho, and we had animals. I was around horses and cows and pigs and, of course,
oh, dogs. My.
Yeah, every species, you know, that you could think of that's in Idaho. And honestly, I dreamt of a city life somewhere because that seemed so glamorous. And once I got into college, I decided that maybe wasn't quite for me and started thinking about what I'd want to do. And veterinary medicine, you know, really started to be something I started to think about. So I was definitely a late adopter, but it does not mean I have less passion for this profession. But.
Oh, no. Yeah. Time, isn't it? It's what's inside that fuels the passion engine, I think. So you've done a lot, and we're not making you sound like you're 90 years old because you're not, but you have had to run a small animal practice, right? Tell us a little bit about things you've done.
Yeah. So I went to Idaho State University for my undergrad.
What are they called? What's their mascot?
Idaho State Bengals. Go Bengals.
Bengals. Okay. They're not chickens. Okay.
All right. No chickens. No chickens. Fierce Bengals. We are fierce Bengals. And I'm a fierce supporter. But I did my undergrad, and that's kind of where the whole thing started about becoming a veterinarian. And I was fortunate enough to, I worked hard and I was accepted at Washington State University.
Oh, that's a good vet school. Yeah.
Second to my beloved Bengals, I'm a Coug at heart as well. So spent 4 years in vet school in Pullman, Washington, some of the best years of my husband and I's lives. And then once again, it's really funny to think of as a kid, I was dreaming of, you know, city life somewhere and the glamour of city life. And we ended up moving right back to our hometown.
Okay.
Not necessarily thinking we would stay there. We didn't really know what was in store, but started a practice, Alpine Animal Hospital in Pocatello, Idaho, and ended up with the other associate veterinarian. We purchased the practice within about 3 or 4 years of...
Wow, that's fast.
And we were owners for 25 years, built a new building, grew the practice from 2 veterinarians to 6 over the years, and recently sold to my earlier career associates. So they're carrying on the legacy of Alpine Animal Hospital. So I'm very proud of that. And now pursuing some fun travel with AVMA.
This is a big job. I mean, we're getting up pre-dawn for this interview because you've got a whole day of interviews today.
Yes, I do.
I haven't yawned once because you're pretty awesome. But I mean, what is the job like to be the AVMA president?
So AVMA president is really, you know, again, that spokesperson. I want to be out there talking to the public. I want to be talking to veterinarians. And we have so many resources to support veterinarians as well as, again, provide education and support for those animal owners out there. And it doesn't matter what species. Once again, we have veterinarians who are, of course, companion animal. That's primarily what I did. We have bovine practitioners, equine practitioners. We have what we call exotics. So people that work on.
Yeah, the chickens are big now. You know, they are. And bearded dragons. Oh, my.
Reptiles, snakes, there's all kinds of exotic animals that really have unique needs. And so these veterinarians have, you know, taken the extra time to learn about those species. We have public health veterinarians. So veterinarians are out there helping protect our food supply. We have veterinarians in the military that help protect our country. We have veterinarians in research looking at new ways to treat and take care of not only animals, but people. So veterinarians are in so many parts of our lives. And that's one of the things AVMA, we really want to showcase the importance of veterinary care. And I have to say one more thing really quickly, because this little thing called a pandemic that we just all lived,
yeah,
it's kind of a really good reason to understand what we call a One Health approach. And that One Health approach is healthy animals, healthy people, healthy environment. And all those are connected. And veterinarians play a key role in that in many ways. And so we work with, you know, human side, we're worried about the environment, all of, you know, those three cornerstone pieces of our world really need to work together to keep us.
I kind of like that the AVMA, I have good friends that are veterinarians. And one of our guests was Dr. Arnold Plotnick, and he had a very good career in feline medicine in New York City. And he now dedicates going to third world countries and doing rabies vaccinations and getting cats and dogs taken care of. And so there is that passion that you keep saying, that engine that drives. We do have a little bit of time left, and I do want to get into the summer heat with you, if I may, because it is caliente here in Texas. And last year we had I think it was 2 weeks in a row of 108 degrees. I am a master certified pet first aid and CPR instructor. Been doing it since 2011, working with veterinarians. And my dog, Kona, and my cat, Casey, are my team. We actually work together and we train first responders, people that work in dog daycares, pet sitters, you name it. I'm always learning from veterinarians and passing it on. But big question, you're the one with the DVM after your name. Dogs and cats do not sweat like we do, right?
They do not. And the only way they can get rid of heat is from panting and the small amount of sweat glands that are in their paws. So, and up their nose too. But that's so insignificant when they're getting overheated. That panting is really the most important thing for them. And this heat, they do not tolerate it very well.
And you know that, you know, dogs come in all different kinds of coats, double coats, no coats, cats too. And because they don't have skin pores all over their body to pop out the heat, I have heard of a statistic, but you're the one that might know this. On a 77 degree day, if you put your hand on the sidewalk, it is actually 125 degrees. And these poor dogs could be on a tight lead while you're at a farmer's market with all four paws on that sidewalk. What could happen?
I've seen it. I've seen blisters on the bottom of those paws, and they pretty much burn the keratin or that thick skin. It can burn right off to raw bleeding tissue. And that is so, I mean, it's awful to see because they lay down, they can't walk, and it's quite painful. So again, being mindful of where you're at. And another thing that's super important, because you mentioned it, all kinds of breeds, ages, sizes, you need to talk to your veterinarian about what your specific animal can tolerate. If your animal is older with heart disease, respiratory disease, there's so many factors that come into play when it comes to what they can tolerate. So your veterinarian is your best resource.
I like that. Yeah. And I'm saying to you and asking you, I mean, you know, sometimes dogs are so doggone loyal. They'll keep pushing themselves to please people, but heat exhaustion, heat stroke is a very painful experience. And I know that, but I wanted to ask you, all right, they're panting. What other things that say you got to get in the shade and you need to give them some cool water?
Yes. And again, I want to emphasize not only painful, but deadly, right?
Yeah. I actually saw a necropsy of a dog who died of heat stroke, everybody, and the organs do boil.
It is awful. And I've obviously seen it. So really, again, being prepared, I can't emphasize that enough. And watching, right? If you're going to the farmer's market, I know you're distracted with friends and things you're buying. Always keep an eye on that animal. Always have water before they start panting. Have a little water bottle that you can kind of get on their nose and say, hey, do you want some water?
Yeah. What about dipping their paws in the water? I call it, ready? The paws that refresh.
There you go. There you go. So cool water. Yes. Try to stay on the grass. Avoid the sidewalks if you can. Again, get down there and kind of gently tap it yourself and see how hot that actually is. And maybe there are times when it just isn't the right thing to take them, you know?
Yes. What about people think more is better? So you got a hot pet in the hot sun. Why is it not a good thing to give them ice cubes or put ice on them?
You don't want to cool them down too fast, right? You want to prevent them from getting heated. But if you see them start to pant, you see their eyes kind of have that stressed look. You see the whites of their eyes. They might be a little weak, looking weak, anything like that. Boy, you don't have a lot of time. You've got to get them medical care as soon as you can. And again, that's the key to prevention is so much better. So really think about, you know, should I even take them?
Yeah. I joke in my classes because I think people learn when they're having a good time and when they feel safe. So I tell people I created a little saying about heat prevention. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, I do actually.
I say ice, ice, not nice, baby.
There you go. That is awesome. That is awesome.
Because they can go into shock. That doesn't
Yeah,
look good.
exactly. You know, you don't want those extreme changes. You just want
I
them
can
to
see you dressed up as a vanilla ice wrapper, given the AVMA slogan on that. How's that? I gave you a whole new career, Dr. Carlson.
Don't do that. If my kids or husband knew I was trying to dance around here, they would be horrified.
And we just have a couple minutes left, but water is a big thing. Some dogs just dig water. There's even cats that are adventure cats that like being on paddle boards and kayaks and canoes. I had two dogs in my past who were original members of the SoCal Surf Dog. Water, water, water safety. So what's some advice you can give us, Dr. Carlson?
So you do want to, again, look at your individual animal. Are they really, you know, are they swimmers? Are they able to, you know, physically able to swim? Be careful where you're going. There's Giardia, there's algal blooms. There's a lot of things in that water that can be a problem. If you're out on a boat, get them a life vest, right? I mean, yep. Good grief. You never know when they're going to jump off the boat. If they see something, boom, they're gone.
There's no squirrels out there for the dogs, but there's other things.
There's other things. There's ripples. There's something moving, and they're going to go after it. So a life vest can be a real, truly lifesaver when you're trying to scramble in to get that dog back in the boat. So
now you want the life jacket with the handle on it too, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And that is so much easier to kind of grab that and lift them up in the boat than have them clawing around as you're trying to grab them. So once again, keep an eye on them. You know, you just never know what they're going to do. So your attention on them is really important.
And I do appreciate you being here today. I want everyone to please go to the avma.org and check out. They have a list for an evacuation kit. You all have also some disaster preparedness planning advice. So what's your parting message to all of us lucky to have a dog, cat, chicken, bearded dragon, or whatever in our life?
One of the most important things you can do is create that relationship with a veterinarian and build a trust so that when you do have a problem, you have that trusted professional and talk about prevention, parasites, nutrition, exercise. Talk about all those things with your veterinarian because they're the best resource. And avma.org is a great resource for a lot of those topics as well, not just what we talked about. And then once you've done some of that research on avma.org, take that to your veterinarian and make sure you tailor that to the specific
like that.
Need of your patient, your pet.
Hey, I'm honored to have on our show Dr. Rena Carlson. You survived being on the OBehave show. What do you think?
I'm excited. This has been awesome. And I love your passion for what you do. Thanks for the therapy side of it. It's amazing the human-animal bond and what animals can do to help people. So that is such an important part of our lives and our well-being in general. So thanks for all your effort. That takes a lot of time and effort.
Yeah, we go to memory care centers, Kona and my dog and Casey, my cat, and they're hilarious. They have a better sense of humor than me. Hey, everybody. We, again, thank Dr. Rena Carlson for being on our show. I also want to give a shout out to my producer, Mark Winter. He is the executive producer of Pet Life Radio. We are the longest running pet radio network on the planet. Check out the other shows on Pet Life Radio. Check out me, ardenmoore.com, and my YouTube channel, Arden Moore. And check out Pet First Aid for You, because I tell you what, it's veterinary approved, and we make it fun and practical in our classes. So until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words to all you 2, 3, and 4-leggers out there. Oh, behave!
Coast to coast and around the world, it's OBehave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. OBehave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.